unrest in Egypt spreads to Jordan.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the trading day. Coming up, as protests expand in Cairo, Jordan's King Abdullah fires his government. We'll go live to Amman and find out what the implications are for the global economy. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up. The Dow is up 53 points at 11,945. The NASDAQ is up 0.8%. The S&P 500 up about 0.7%. After 24 years at the Gap, the president of the company's North American operations is leaving, effective immediately. Marka Hansen faced criticism for years of lagging sales, as well as the Gap logo debacle last October when the company changed its logo and then backtracked days later because of complaints. Now let's get to our top story. The unrest in the Middle East is spreading fast. News this morning that the Palestinian government has announced plans for local council elections as soon as possible. And in Jordan, King Abdullah fired his government and called for political reform. Let's go live now to the Jordanian capital of Amman, where the BBC's Dale Gavlak is standing by for us. Dale Gavlak, give us an update on what's happened there today.
Yes. Well, King Abdullah of Jordan dismissed his government following 3 weeks of street protests. He asked the ex-army general Maruf al-Bahit to form a new cabinet. Jordanians from all political stripes took to the streets in nationwide demonstrations over rising prices, inflation, and unemployment, very similar to Tunisia and Egypt. Now, Jordan's economy, like those two countries, is weighed down by a record deficit of $2 billion, and unemployment tops 12%.
Adele Gavlak, what kind of an impact can the events that are going on there in Jordan have on the global economy?
Perhaps it may calm the global economy a bit. The king has taken a decisive move to dismiss his prime minister, which the protesters had demanded, and he has appointed someone new. So this satisfies the protesters' demands in part, but they've also been asking for the popular election of a prime minister and cabinet official, so it doesn't satisfy that.
Now, markets around the world have been concerned about the unrest in Egypt spreading to other countries in the region, just as we hear that it is today, disrupting oil trade, perhaps, and shipping. Is that what has happened? Or is this crisis spreading?
Well, I mean, in some ways, yes. I mean, Egypt is an oil producer, and of course, so its own oil trade has been disrupted. Jordan is not an oil producer. The Gulf, where the majority of the Middle East oil is produced, is continuing to produce. But let's face it, world markets do not like political instability. And so what we're witnessing in Egypt, you know, we can just expect to see oil prices continue to fluctuate.
The BBC's Dale Gavlak in Amman. Now let's get to our regular Tuesday market analyst, Julie Neiman of Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis, for a look at how this might affect us here in the U.S. Julie, we've already seen oil prices going up. They're up above $100 a barrel overseas. Do you think this is going to be a problem for our budding economic recovery here?
It will, because it changes consumer behavior. It lowers confidence. People drive less. They spend less. They have fewer coins in the jeans. So consumer spending on the surface could stay up, but it's going into the gas tank, not into the shopping cart. And that's not what we need for a good recovery.
And Julie, how long do you think it'll take for us to notice any rising prices at the pump as a result of rising oil prices?
Well, typically it's about 60 days from the wellhead to your gas tank, and half of that is about the price of crude oil. But demand and supply are fairly much constant right now, and if retailers see hikes coming, they will take the prices up early because they'll be paying more for the next load. So look for them to start hiking right away to pay for the next more expensive load. It'll be at your gas tank very soon.
Something to look forward to, I guess. Julie Neiman of Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis, thanks so much.
You bet.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, helping small businesses and nonprofits make sense of social media. You can learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud.
The big international airport in Dallas-Fort Worth closed for a while this morning because of the huge winter storm that's impacting much of the country. The airport has just reopened, but you can bet a lot of people will be staying home all across the U.S. today. And as a result, many businesses are in for a dismal day of sales. But there's a new marketing approach that might help. Sylvia Maria Gross of KCUR has more now from Kansas City.
At Spin Neapolitan Pizza, manager Roger Formanek says business on snow days can be unpredictable, and usually it's dead. But last year, Spin started emailing out a crummy weather voucher of 20% off on snow days.
Literally, almost every guest has the coupon in hand or on their phone. We'll take it either way.
So chances are they wouldn't have been here without it.
Probably not.
Spin was two-thirds full last snow day, a great turnout considering the awful roads. Morningstar consumer analyst Paul Swinand says this kind of last-minute promotion is made possible by online and social media marketing and inspired by the popularity of collective buying sites like Groupon.
Marketers, when they're trying to be local, they're trying to be relevant for that particular moment. You know, they're choosing what's on people's mind.
Even national chains are paying attention to local weather. On snow days, Chipotle offers 50% off, plus free chips and guacamole to the person who ventures out in the snow to pick it up. In Kansas City, I'm Sylvia Maria Gross for Marketplace.
And finally, in a couple weeks, reigning Jeopardy champion Ken Jennings will compete against a computer on the game show. But one software developer has already put search engines to the Jeopardy test. Stephen Wolfram fed a random sampling of Jeopardy clues into Google and Bing. He wanted to see how many times each site put the correct answer in the first page of results. Well, for Google, it was 69%. Bing showed the correct answer on the first page just 63% of the time. As for Ken Jennings, what is 79% of the time? In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
How much soy does it take to build the inside of a car?
So Ford is currently saving about 3 million pounds of petroleum each and every year by using soy instead of petroleum.
I'm Bob Moon. Cup holders and car seats get a green makeover next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.